You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, how fast do you really want to drive on the highway? Higher speed limits could be coming to your state. What do taxi drivers think about Uber and Lyft? You'll hear from one of them. Let's meet the friends. If you're real nice to her, she might show you her tattoo. It's Aaron Myers.
Well, maybe. We'll see about that one. We've heard of people getting kicked out of restaurants for pit bull service dogs, even breastfeeding. Well, now I have another reason why you might not get your next meal.
There's a reason we have a ton of new people listening today. Hello, it's Lisa May.
Hello. Well, you know what kind of music you like, but do you know what kind of music your feline likes?
Ooh.
I do.
He's sweeter than he looks. No, really. Chris Martin is here.
If you stop for a donut at a certain mega chain this morning, you might want to set up an appointment with your doctor.
Whoa, that sounds delicious.
A warning for you.
Yummy donut. Donuts. Hey, today's program is sponsored by our good friends over at the NHL Network. You want to set yourself up with this for as little as $24.99 to start. Sign up, watch hockey live or on demand on your favorite device. Never miss a slap shot. Check or save from any team you choose. Get extra camera angles, multi-game views, the whole thing. And really, it's very little money. Like dinner, you and the BFF or the GFF. Dinner and a pie, a slice of pie. That'll get you all the hockey that you can handle. Head over to PhilHewlettAndFriends.com right now. Click on the NHL Game Center Live link at the top right of the website. Not only will you benefit, but so will we. Thank you for doing that. All right, we'll get things started now. And a big hello to Lisa May.
Hey.
Hi.
Holy cow.
It's so fun to be here. Thanks for asking
me. It's fun to have you here.
This is a mic, right?
Yeah, it's a microphone.
Can I talk into it this way?
How long has it been? A week?
It's been a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You have been in the news in Southern California and perhaps across the country for your 25 years or so. On,
yeah, it's 24 years.
Los Angeles radio station KROQ.
Yep.
And you are going to address that a little later in the program, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Yeah.
All right. So that's coming up. And in the meantime, we'll keep things rolling the way we normally do. And we have stories to cover. And Aaron, what's on your plate today?
Well, this kind of surprises me because it's considered a restaurant. So you think when, you know, the tatas are out, things are okay in that restaurant. Anything goes.
I've never heard that term, Aaron.
A restaurant.
Never.
Yes, that's where the waitresses are entitled.
I've heard people talk about these restaurants.
Yes.
I have no personal knowledge of them.
Of course, no guys here know anything about them. Well, this one's in Houston, and it's called Bombshells. And apparently, they had to shut down their Facebook page this week. Because they kicked a diner out on Saturday night because he had facial tattoos.
Ooh.
And they actually had a police officer come and escort him out of the restaurant.
What? Like prison tats?
Yes. No, just, you know, artistic tattoos, it sounds like. But here is their reasoning. They said that they had to blame it on the gang concentration in the area. And apparently, obviously, the diner says he has nothing to do with gangs and was very offended. And social media has definitely been on his side.
Yeah.
So...
Well,
a lot of
musicians are just covered in tattoos. Mm-hmm.
Sure. But at the face, I mean, that's like pristine territory, isn't it?
Not anymore.
No, people tattoo everything.
Yeah.
Well, you run out of real estate. You got to
go.
Right?
Exactly.
That's all that's left.
They were running preventative maintenance, it sounds like. It's like, oh, well, you let one gang member in. Next thing you know.
Yeah, the place will be populated with facial tats.
Mm-hmm.
And who wants that?
I mean, what are they expecting, though? It's the restaurant, though.
Anything
goes there.
I'm going to say that every day for the rest of my life. It's a restaurant.
Yeah, but how are their wings? That's what I want to know.
Do breasts attract ink? I don't understand the connection.
I think
they
just attract men, and men, some of them have ink.
All right. Honk, honk. Now, there's another story, and this will pull at your heartstrings if the facial tattoo did not, or at least you'll have an opinion about this. There are these families all over the country who, for whatever reason, religious or otherwise, don't want to have medical treatment. And when it comes to parents and their children, and then they, for the same reasons, don't want their children to be treated for a disease that ultimately may kill them, all of a sudden the public gets involved. And that happened in this case, right?
Yes. Well, a 17-year-old girl in Connecticut, she had cancer, and she was forced to do chemo because she said she didn't want to do it. Her mom supported her, and they couldn't decide, obviously, if it was the girl's real choice or she was listening to her mom, so they took the choice away. And the thing is, though, she's now in remission. And she says that she's still upset that she was forced to do it, but she's happy that, you know, she's in remission. And she says this, too. She says, knowing now that the chemo wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, I probably wouldn't fight so hard against it.
Hmm.
So, you know.
You know what? I'm torn on this. On one hand, I say, okay, let them do what they want because, you know, where is the toll on society, really, other than we have this collective, we're all in the same boat and we want to make sure that humankind is taken care of. And we somehow would feel guilty if we didn't step in to help that child.
If that child were out, if that child were younger, like 10,
yes.
How would you feel different?
Yeah, I think, that's when you say call child services, right? When it's like child abuse.
In. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
but
is
then
it the
again,
fact that that child is like borderline adult?
Right. Maybe.
It's
but
a
then,
tough one.
But then intrinsically, is our neighbor's family life any of our business?
I don't know. When it comes to parents' beliefs and their
towards
kids'
towards a 17-year-old, too. A 17-year-old at that point is still a minor, right?
Yeah,
it is the parents' choice. The Steve Jobs thing is what really threw me off on that because I'm all about healthy lifestyle. I think we all are and hopefully trying to battle any sort of disease that way. But, you know, Steve Jobs, he said he was apologetic. He wished he had tried chemo and other therapies and not gone that sort of natural
the alternative way.
Is the planet somehow worse off without a guy like Steve Jobs?
Yes,
sure, absolutely.
What are you kidding me?
Agree on that.
All right, and so on an even keel, the planet will miss a 17-year-old girl that nobody's heard of.
Oh, well, how do you look at it like that?
Her parents will.
I don't know that I look at it
she
that
has
way.
A whole community.
I'm just asking the question. I'm just throwing
young.
It out there.
So young.
Yeah.
And they said with chemo, she had an 85% chance of survival. So
yeah.
It wasn't something like it was a good chance.
And as a dad of daughters, I'm thinking my girls have their whole life ahead of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want the best for them. And certainly I would choose whatever treatment is going to help my daughter survive and live a happy, healthy life, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure I understand that choice where you say, no, I'm not going to save my kid. We're just going to rely on whatever faith
probably.
Or, yeah, usually faith, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Lisa May, it's your chance to jump into the fray here. And after all those years working at a music station.
Yes. I have a music story.
Do you?
And an animal story. Do you guys do this? Do you put your radio on before you leave the house for your dogs and cats?
I leave my TV on for them.
You leave your TV on. I put NPR on. My animals are very smart.
You have smart cats?
I do.
Smart dogs, cats? What do you have?
I have three dogs, a Chihuahua and two Golden Retrievers.
Right?
Aww. Yeah.
I put mine in a very tiny cage and put a blanket over it.
Oh, it's a bird.
For 12, 14 hours.
Oh. Is it a bird?
No, I'm just kidding. Yes, I turn the radio on.
You should not be allowed to have pets.
No.
All right, clearly. So where are you going with this?
So does that work? Do they care?
I don't even know. My dog doesn't even notice the TV's on when it's sitting right in front of it.
So. Now, I had a dog that could watch TV, but that's another story.
Yeah.
So two psychologists and a composer decided that they wanted to see if they could create music that cats actually liked and if they could figure out if the cats did like it. So what they did was incorporate tempos that they thought cats would find interesting, like the tempo of purring, lots of sliding frequencies in the calls because that's what cats do with their voices. And they created songs that the cats really liked.
Do we have some of this?
Yes, we do.
Oh, can we hear some of
them? I believe we can.
Ooh.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
And so they played classical music, and the cats completely ignored it, several different selections, and then they played three different songs that they created for the cats, and they were alert and interested, and some of them rubbed up against the speakers.
Really?
Yeah, so they, like, really dug it.
You know, you can almost hear birds chirping and, like, mice squeaking.
Yeah.
Things that cats, I think, would enjoy.
I kind of enjoy it.
My cats, I sing to them, and they like that.
Do you sing like this?
No. I probably sing very badly, but they seem to like it. They'll come sit near me and purr, and I pet them, and they just look at me while I sing.
So this is like catnip for cats, huh?
Yeah, for their ears.
Yeah, and give them some catnip and watch them really enjoy it.
It's like a fish concert.
At least psychedelic.
Man, I can feel the sound.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so we're going to find out what is in a tasty donut. That could kill you.
Aww.
Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Aaron Myers is here. Lisa May is here. Mm-hmm. Maybe you knew that.
I knew it.
And Chris Martin is here. And Chris, we all love a sugar donut and a cup of coffee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you got to be careful with some of the ingredients, especially when they've got those sprinkles on there, huh?
Sprinkles or the white powder is what we're talking about in this case.
Sugar.
The sugary powder, yeah. So if you get a powdered sugar donut,
Yeah,
I don't know if you guys enjoy those or not.
Oh, I do.
Dunkin' Donuts is now dropping one of the ingredients from their powdered sugar. It's called titanium dioxide, which, doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
They've been experiencing mounting pressure from an activist group called As You Sow. And they forced them to change. The group says that titanium dioxide causes DNA and chromosomal damage, which does not sound good. And it's one of the ingredients found in toothpaste and sunscreen.
I thought it was in my sunscreen. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Why would you put that in a donut?
I don't know.
It makes it white. It makes white, brighter white.
Mutant children.
Well, it's like the dog food with antifreeze ingredients in it. You know,
the
same ingredients that they have in antifreeze. So, but. When you just say it that way, that it has the same ingredient as, you know,
sunscreen.
It sounds awful, but maybe sunscreen to one degree or another is edible.
Sure. I've eaten it before. It's a step up from glue, really.
That's tasty.
I'm glad you know both of those.
I do want to say that titanium dioxide is not listed as a harmful product by the FDA. Nonetheless, Dunkin' Donuts will change. They are working on a schedule to roll out the new recipe. They'll let us know soon.
Oh, so get those donuts with the titanium dioxide in them while they last.
Yeah.
Wow. Stock them up.
Yeah. All right.
That's funny.
Wow. Can you believe that? Probably have a ton of that stuff in us, don't we?
I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. Just a quick thing for you, because I'm nothing if not tapped into what's happening in the news. And I think you should know that when you go to the theater and you buy that tub of popcorn,
so good.
It's a lot of money, though, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like
as
ridiculous.
Much as a theater, a ticket to the movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why some of the theaters, when they have those rewards programs where you earn and then you get like the free bucket of popcorn, it's like, wow, I'm really winning here, aren't I? But did you know that that popcorn at a movie theater costs per ounce more than filet mignon?
Are you serious?
Sad.
So it's like dinner and a movie and dinner.
Wow.
Well, and then you talk about the price of the ticket, and if you want a drink on top of that, they're ripping you off every way possible.
So is this why people illegally download movies?
I'm sure that's part of it.
Yeah.
I think a lot less people are actually going to the theaters. Mm-hmm. I love the theater experience, but I usually have to bypass the popcorn. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Yeah, it is. $10 for a tub of popcorn.
Seems like I checked out of movie theaters a while ago, and I've been doing the Netflix thing. Yeah, we'll go like once in a while, you know, when somebody gives us a pass for a birthday or something.
Some of them you have to, though. Movies like Gravity or you know, some of those movies.
You need them on
And I saw Gravity in a theater, and I got really, really mad when Sandra Bullock won the Oscar for Best Actress.
Why would you do that?
Hyped it up too much, didn't they?
Did she win Best Actress?
I don't know.
I think she did.
She won something.
I think she did.
Supporting Actress?
She might have.
Yes.
And then I watched that other Les Miserables movie.
And
I got really...
Are you saying you didn't enjoy it?
I got really, really mad when that... what's that other lady?
Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway won the Oscar for like 10 minutes on the screen.
But that's
it was a good 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I know. I mean, I think I would have stopped if I was pretending to cry and a little snot came out of my nose. But
she did not.
She kept plugging along, right? Yeah.
That's acting.
It was absolutely
it's not
wonderful.
Quantity, it's quality.
Yeah. I know it. And you know what? There's a special video online, and I know our web munchkins are working on trying to get this going here. And yeah. People in a village in another country did a very special thing, and they went to great pains to do it.
Yes,
Aaron, didn't they?
Yes, it was very sweet. I watched the video, and it's actually a Samsung ad, but they put a lot of work into it. It was in Turkey, and the company, they spent a month teaching sign language to a neighborhood to surprise a deaf neighbor. And the young man that shows him walking out just for his normal day, and he goes to get food. People run into him on the street, and there's hidden cameras, and everybody he meets is signing to him. And you see throughout the video, he's like, what's going on? Are they hearing impaired? And at the end, they tell him, you know, Samsung's, you know, trying to better their products for the hearing impaired. And he starts to cry and the whole town comes together. And it was just very sweet to watch. And it was nice. And sign language is hard to learn. So it's not easy. And they spent a month doing that.
And the whole village learned, well, they learned phrases.
The whole
in
the neighborhood. Yeah. Everyone in the neighborhood learned specific things, it looks like offering him an apple or telling him the bagels were hot and fresh and things like that. So he was just in shock that you see his kind of look of confusion on his face throughout.
What do you think about sign language in just in daily life? Do you think it's something that people should learn? Let's say all the kids learn English in school.
I took it.
And they learn a second language. Mm-hmm. And do you think we should teach everybody sign language?
I don't know. Whenever
too?
I see someone doing it, I wish that I did know how to do it.
Yeah?
Plus, you could just gossip without anyone knowing what you're saying, which I think would be amazing.
Right, yeah.
So, I'd like to do it.
One of my nieces, she has a son, and she's teaching him sign language. He's young. He's like two now, two and a half, something like that. She's teaching him sign language first, and he's picking up on English along the way. But he's like practically fluent with sign language
already. Very common with younger kids to teach them.
But then, you know, the grandmas will come along and say, what are you doing? Teach them English first.
Right.
You know? But I think there's plenty of time for that.
That's the time
he'll get
them.
Yeah, between two and when they get into preschool and kindergarten, you've got all that time to pull that off, right?
Right. I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. You know, in this world, we talk about being prepared for so many things because we want to live a long and healthy and exciting life. But there's so many things, Lisa May, that we do that are going to shorten that life. Isn't that true?
Can I just say, Phil, good luck. Good luck with that, because what you're doing right this second is shortening your life.
Uh-oh. What
right
is it?
This very second.
Radio?
What am I doing? Wait a minute. Fine. Don't tell people what I'm doing.
Sitting.
I thought you couldn't see.
We all know this already. Sitting shortens your life. But I was just adding it up as I was looking at the story. Like, I sat in my car for an hour and a half. I've been sitting here for about an hour. This morning, I think I sat for an hour. They say if you sit for 3 hours a day, you reduce your life expectancy by 2 years.
Whoa.
Okay, that's just the beginning.
2 years, all right.
Okay, sitting for 11 hours a day adds an additional 40% risk of death. It's worse if you're watching TV, and regular exercise doesn't cancel all this out.
Wow.
No? No. That's why you need, that's why I need, anyway, a TV and a treadmill.
Yes.
That's all I want, right?
Or a treadmill with a TV.
Yeah. Perfect.
Then you see those people now with the desks. Yeah, the stand-up desks. Exactly.
I think we need those. Okay, the second thing that will kill you is being single.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so in trouble.
I feel like that's adding years to my life.
Well, hurry up.
Yeah, it's less of a headache.
Hurry up and lower your standards and date somebody in a hurry.
If you've never gotten married and you never get married, then you have a 32% chance, higher chance of early death. But I think this is really just for men. Because I've read other studies that say single women live longer and married men live longer.
Yes, well, I've read that too.
What about a guy like Hugh Hefner, for instance? Sure, he had those sham marriages along the way.
He lived to be an old man.
Yeah.
That is true.
I mean, he's the consummate bachelor, basically.
But he's never alone.
But yeah, that's true. He always has multiple females around.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Retiring. I don't think we have to worry about that right now, but there are a lot of people who want to retire early, and they say that'll shorten your life because your brain kind of goes down.
Yeah.
And you probably sit more, right?
No, you see, you always see the stories about somebody who's worked well past their retirement age, and the week after they actually do turn it in, they pass away.
They drop dead.
You have to have hobbies. You have to have something that you're interested in to take up your time. Otherwise,
that's why
you're going to be sitting for 11 hours a day, and we know what that does.
My aunt lived to 94, and she worked every day till she was 94. So,
But what's the balance? Is it, is that a happy life?
She was very happy. I mean, they traveled. They took time off, but they also went into the office when they were in town and kept busy.
Well, there's something to be said about doing what you love.
That's true.
If you could turn your hobby into your gig.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Will you keep loving and being passionate about your hobby, or will it start to feel like a job at some point? I don't know. It depends
how
passionate you are about what you do and what you love.
I'll let you know.
Oh.
Another one is flying. That made me sad.
I can't fly.
Not yet.
I flap my arms real hard, and it's just not working.
Still not working. You're going to live to be an old man, Chris.
Good.
When you travel 40,000 feet above the surface of the Earth, you are exposed to radiation 64 times more potent than ground level. So mostly flight attendants, pilots, and frequent flyers are exposed to more radiation than people who work at a nuclear power plant.
Wow.
No kidding.
No.
Wow.
So cancer could be in your future. And the last one is skipping church. And this is even if you don't go to church.
Boy.
And they don't know why exactly, but churchgoers tend to live longer than people who don't go to church. You could cut your life short by 7 to 10 years by not going.
Okay.
Because you spend that hour and a half in the sanctuary, and you're not doing the other four things on
right.
the list.
Right. You're not fly. That's a good point. That's probably what it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Those are hard things to accomplish, all of those.
I tell you one thing that'll shorten your life.
What?
If you're the guy who puts the language on the tag at this soccer jersey company, Chris, what are they called and what do they write on the tag?
It will. Their name is Salvo Sports. They make soccer jerseys for Indonesia. They're under fire because under the washing instructions on the label, it says, "Give this to your woman. It's her job." In capital letters. Social media went nuts. Salvo treated an apology and tried to backtrack with this. Instead of washing it the wrong way, and he said, the message was intended to be, instead of washing your jersey the wrong way, you might want to give it to a woman because they're more capable. That's what we were trying to say.
Oh,
you see?
Uh-huh. All right.
That doesn't work.
Careful.
For me.
Careful or you'll get killed right here on the program.
They've been forced to recall the jerseys.
Yeah, I think
All right, Chris. Hey, be honest. How fast do you drive? 70, 80 miles per hour? Is it time to jack the speed limit up to match the flow of traffic? One state is considering it. We'll tell you about it and get reaction from the AAA next, right here. Lisa Mays in the studio on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thank you for that. Visit the website, just add .com after the name of the show, and you're there. Poke around a little bit. You'll find a lot of fun stuff. And on every page, right there on the right column, it says never miss a single show. And you put in your email address and your name, and you'll get this show to listen to on demand and every other show after the fact in your email box, so you never miss anything. You could just watch it.
That's incredibly convenient.
Isn't it? Yes. All right, so everybody in this room, Aaron Myers, Lisa May, Chris Martin, and myself,
yes,
we all drive cars in Southern California. And the speeds people drive is really getting up there, isn't it? I mean, anymore, if you drive 80, you're going to upset a bunch of people who want to drive 85.
Yeah.
And the Diamond Lane, forget about it, right?
Yeah. Very scary, really.
Yeah, so if everybody's driving that fast, a lot of people would ask the question, why not boost the limit? They're thinking about that in one state. Well, they have a lot more open space out there, so in theory, it's safer, maybe. The state is South Dakota, and we want to get a little perspective on this. Marilyn Buskol is with the AAA in South Dakota, where I imagine they wouldn't be thrilled with this, but I could be wrong. Marilyn, hi. Did I get this right? 80 miles per hour is the proposal, and is it for the entire state or just a handful of highways?
No, I believe, hi, Phil, 80 miles per hour is what's on the table for the interstate system.
Oh, okay. So all interstates in South Dakota. So once we cross the state line, gun it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you think? I mean, cars can drive a lot faster than that these days. There's so much power under the hood, and they have all kinds of safety equipment, new stuff built in. Why not go faster?
Well, interestingly enough, I think that the states that have adopted faster speed limits aren't seeing necessarily more crashes, but I think that they're more severe.
Ooh.
Because once an accident occurs when you're traveling at a higher speed, they collide with greater force.
And you get airborne, you start flipping head over tail, and it just gets ugly. And are drivers able to react to potential hazards at speeds like that? You know, hazards such as people driving the speed limit in the Diamond Lane, for instance?
Well, my initial thought when I learned about this proposal was that, you know, the problems we're having with distracted driving anyway, and then you put higher speeds in the mix, I think you're just kind of
right.
I think it's a recipe for
somebody's texting and driving and they just weave a little bit, they get a tire in the gravel on the shoulder and boom, it's over.
Right.
Yeah. So do you also see that in these states like Montana and Texas where they've got 85 in a couple of places, do you notice that once they post 85, people are more likely to drive 105?
Well, at least that's the way it is in South Dakota. Our speed limit right now on our highways is 75. So people push it to 80 all the time, and you usually don't have a problem with enforcement if you're driving under 80.
AAA is on record as being against this proposal?
Well, the states have, that's up to the states to adopt the maximum speed limits, but I guess I feel that it's not as much of a safety issue as it is common sense.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that's Marilyn Buskell. She's with the AAA in South Dakota. And she sounds like she'd be worried if people were driving that fast.
Listen, I can attest to, having been a traffic reporter here for a long time, that on holidays, when there's no traffic, we have the most spectacular accidents.
People drive faster on holidays?
They drive faster, right. And when they have accidents, they are horrible, and freeways end up getting shut down. She's absolutely right about that.
You're late to grandma's. You've got all that hot food in the back seat, and the pans hit you in the head when you crash.
It's a terrible thing, Phil.
Projectiles inside the car, right?
Yes. On most days in Southern California, the speed limit could be 90. And you'd still be lucky to do 10.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. That is true.
That's a good point.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so on another topic, men, Aaron.
Yeah.
You know a thing or two about them?
I try to learn, but they're always confusing me.
Yes.
But there is this kind of new thing that might make me go to Instagram more often. I guess there are hot guy sites on Instagram, and they have guys doing all these funny, weird things, like men and coffee. So there's pictures of men with coffee looking good. And guys, bros being basic is another one where it's men sort of doing what women do. Like you see them in fluffy robes drinking mimosas, but they're all like muscle-bound frat guys.
Oh.
So that's kind of interesting, too. And then my favorite, Aussie bums. Good-looking men on a beach.
Aww.
So this, just a reason maybe
not
to check
their
out.
Not their bums. You're not looking at their bums, you cheeky monkey.
Oh, there might be some like that, though, but they do have the 6 and 8-pack abs. So.
Yeah, all right.
Just something to look at on Instagram when
is this like the whole thing? Like Playgirl magazine that first came out and says, naked guys for gals, and it turns out it's guys looking at naked guys.
Right, yes. That's probably what this is, too.
Yeah.
Because this is the first time I've seen it, and I'm like, it's cute, but I don't think I would take my time to look at it every day.
You think there's a market for pictures of guys sitting on the couch watching football, having a beer, and eating pizza?
Probably.
Oh,
yeah. Probably.
All right. Now, these aren't necessarily selfies. These are guys who are just posing like model type dudes.
Yes, most of them. Yes, they're not selfies.
But then there are a whole bunch of people out there and a whole bunch of guys out there, doing the selfies and all that. And you have to wonder, between men and women, who thinks more of themselves?
Oh, I can answer that question.
Can you, Lisa May?
Yes, I can. I've always thought this to be true, but now it's been proven by science. It's men.
It's science, it's men?
So you can't argue.
If science
it's science.
Says so.
Yes, this was a study published in the Journal Psychological Bulletin. So listen, it was 475,000 people that they analyzed over 31 years worth of personality test results.
So this is really legit.
So this is for reals, right?
for reals?
Yes. So while men and women are equally vain, men across generations, tend to be more narcissistic in every other way.
Wow.
Including having inflated self-esteem and a greater sense of entitlement.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like I deserve that.
Mm-hmm.
Why won't you give it to me?
Yes.
I am
man.
Exactly.
Yep. Men showed greater assertiveness and desire for power than women. They showed a particularly elevated sense of entitlement, and they feel that they deserve special privileges.
So is it still a man's world then? And because
in their head.
People talk about the salaries not being equal between men and women and all that.
And partly because women don't ask, right?
Or is it
they don't promote themselves.
It's partly that, and it's also because are men making the rules?
Well, that's partly it, too. But there's a social norm at work here where women, it's not feminine to be assertive about yourself and to brag about your accomplishments the way that men do.
It scares guys when you do stuff
but
like that.
But see, look how rich the narcissistic women in our society are, like Kim Kardashian, for instance. Oh, she's not narcissistic at all.
Oh,
she?
Not at all.
No.
Well, I don't know about assertive, though. She doesn't seem like the type that's being assertive in that way. you know, she puts her stuff out there and it gets very popular. But let me ask you this. Do you think it could be a hormonal thing, too? Like, men have so much testosterone coursing through their veins, and I wonder if it's just more men are more naturally inclined to be that way.
Kill the beast.
I
don't know if you can fix that, but...
No, it could definitely be part of that. Mm.
Oh, does it need to be fixed?
Yes.
Well,
yes.
What do we do to balance that out?
Thank you, Aaron. Yes, I agree.
You answered that question a little fast.
Hey, I've been thinking about that one for a while, so...
Hey, who in here has taken an Uber or a Lyft ride?
I have.
Have you?
Too. Yeah.
How'd that go?
Love it.
Yeah? Aaron, how'd it go for you?
It was good. It was good.
Yeah?
Easy.
And the price was right?
Mm-hmm.
And the car was clean and the driver was not scary?
Nope. It was all good.
Yeah. All right. Good. I wonder what taxi drivers think of Uber drivers and Lyft drivers.
Oh, they love them.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. I mean, really, all this time, taxi drivers have gotten all the business, and then Uber and Lyft comes in and starts doing what apparently we wanted taxi drivers to do all the time.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So it's about time we found out and asked a taxi driver, and that's exactly what we're going to do next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Aaron Myers is here. Lisa May is here. And thank you to all the Lisa May fans who have tuned in today. And Chris Martin, whose fans love him until he leaves them.
Mm-hmm.
Is that absolutely right?
I don't know. What are you trying to say there, Phil?
I think I know what he's trying to say.
Sort of playboy or something
Lothario?
Like that.
Is
yeah.
That
absolutely. Lothario. I like that.
That's a good word.
Yeah. You know, so when's the last time you actually hailed a cab?
It's been a while.
It's a changing time. Depending on what city you're in. I mean, Los Angeles is a weird town. But in New York, every time I go to New York, I'm in a cab. I don't go on the subway. I hail a cab.
Yeah.
But these days, it's a newfangled world, right? People pick up their smartphone and they do the whole Uber thing or the Lyft deal. And then some guy who's not a taxi driver pulls up in a car and... And somehow you feel comfortable and confident that this guy's not going to, you know, take you to his sex dungeon and do strange things to you without your permission.
That's only happened once.
Has it? Yeah. But did you pay extra?
And it wasn't so bad.
And yeah, exactly.
Did
you
leave
the ride for
free? You leave a tip? All right. I've been curious to know what taxi drivers think about this whole thing because there's been pressure in certain cities. Los Angeles is one of them to make taxis more Uber-like. Mm-hmm. And Ricky Menace is a taxi driver, has been driving a taxi, I believe, in the Los Angeles area for a dozen plus years, 14 or so years. And he joins us live to give us his thoughts on this. Hey, Ricky, am I right, 14 years in L.A.?
That's correct, Phil.
All right. Very good. So we're going to assume that you speak for taxi drivers everywhere. And what do you think the opinion is of Uber and Lyft?
I would like to say that... I welcome any competition. You know, I think Uber and Lyft is just a yuppie trend.
Oh, so do you think it's going to go the wayside? But you call them competition. I mean, that forces you to change a little bit, doesn't it?
I like change.
So what's a taxi ride like in Ricky Menace's car?
Well, I've been driving mostly in Orange County. And you're right about the depends on the city and how many people flag you. Irvine and Newport Beach are mostly internet app, you know, communities.
Yeah.
Anaheim is mostly flagging because of the conventioneers and all the tourists.
Sure.
And it all depends at night, too. If you're working the bar scene, like in the Newport Beach Peninsula, a lot of people are flagging cabs because they don't want to wait for Uber, you know.
Oh, so you're saying you'll be quicker than Uber.
Absolutely. Not only that, but when it's busy, and it's always busy at night, Uber times the rate like up to 5 times the actual cost.
Well, you know, people have the impression that Uber is faster. They pull up the app and they could see where the closest Uber driver is, and then they connect, and that person might just be a couple blocks away.
Well, we have about 300 cabs in our fleet, and there's about, I don't know, 5 different companies in the county.
So how about the perception that the Uber driver is going to show up, and it's a clean, fresh-smelling car and a nice conversational driver? I mean, you seem like a nice conversational guy.
But that's not, you know what, that's how Uber started. But since it's supply and demand, they're hiring anybody, and anybody can apply now. So Uber has become what they've hated from the initial, starting point. Now you've got, anybody, immigrants, people that don't speak the language, people that don't know the community, people that don't know, where to take people,
Does that never happens with taxis, does it?
It did.
Of course it does.
Yeah, of course it does.
but still, Uber, the whole Uber movement started with your clean-cut college student, or whatever, and that's who pretty much, you were expecting to see. Now it's pretty much anybody.
Ricky, what do you do to make a taxi ride more special?
Well, first of all, I'm in a 3-piece suit.
Oh,
wow.
That's
always clean.
Okay.
I speak the language. I know the area. And, it's a 2014 Toyota Prius, hybrid car.
Seems like the taxi of the future. All the taxis are going Prius these days.
Yeah.
It's very comfortable. A lot of legroom.
And great on gas.
That's correct.
Well, that's good for you because, explain how the setup is for a taxi driver. You've got to probably pay some kind of license to operate in a franchise in the city, and then there's certain other requirements that you have to.
In order to drive a taxi cab here in the county of in Orange County or in L.A. for that matter, I have to go through a FBI background check. I've already cleared that. So I have a placard on my dashboard saying that I am certified to drive you around. That costs about $250 after fingerprints and all that.
Yeah.
To drive a taxi with all the city permits here in Orange County, it costs about $500 to $700 a week.
A week?
And that's correct.
What's built into that $750 besides your gasoline?
Well, we have a 24-hour dispatch line. Anybody can call at any time of the day. As a matter of fact, here goes a great example. Yesterday, I picked up a lady in Yorba Linda, and she admitted that she usually calls Uber. But guess what? They weren't available. So it's not reliable.
Yeah. Well, see, what do you think about some of the cities? Los Angeles is one where they're going to force taxi drivers to respond to an app environment so that they've got the app and the software installed so that if somebody brings it up on a phone, that they rather than going through the dispatch.
We already have that system. California Yellow Cab is equipped with, state-of-the-art, apps, and I believe it's called Curb. The app's called Curb.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Good name.
Through us. And you don't have to talk to anybody. You just, and as a matter of fact, it's the same concept. Whoever gets the call assigned to them is on a satellite GPS, and you actually monitor that driver, and it's ETA.
When you're driving around your fares and you've struck up a conversation with the folks, they're in the back seat, or maybe you've got somebody in the shotgun seat there with you. I don't know if you do that, but do you ever get in a situation where do you hear some strange things, some strange stories, and do you egg them on? Do you start asking them questions?
Sure. As a matter of fact, I run 3 cameras in my cab with the passenger's permission. We videotape it. And then I post them on my page.
It's like California taxi driver.
Oh, you have a page? Is it on Facebook or where is it?
That's how your friend found me.
Oh, you're on Facebook, so it's called California Taxi Driver.
That's correct.
Oh, so just search it on Facebook, we could watch these videos and people get in your taxi and they agree to this.
Of course, first of all, since I work odd hours, that's why I drive a taxi because it's flexible.
Yeah.
I pick up people in the middle of the night that don't have any money, So I exchange the fare for an interview.
Wow.
Well, so what, are you making money off of posting these interviews?
No, I just, you know, there's a certain, how should I put it? There's a connection that we all lack, you know, and I'm feeding my viewers with it.
Wow. That's existential.
I'm not sure how to take that.
That was deep.
Yeah, it is. But you say you work weird hours, and so it sounds to me like taxi driving is not your regular gig.
No, I'm a full-time dad, first and foremost.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very good.
Got your priorities straight.
While my
straight.
Children are at school or sleeping, of course, somebody's watching them while they're sleeping, yeah. I go and drive a taxi so I can provide for my children. I'm a single dad.
Yeah. Wow. All right. You ever sing to your fares?
All the time.
Yeah? What kind of singing?
I'm a rock and roll star. I front a rock and roll band here in Orange County.
No
you do?
Way.
What's the name of your band?
It's called Motor Soul.
Wow.
Yeah, we've sold out the House of Blues, the
really?
Whiskey, the Roxy, you
yeah.
name it.
Yeah?
That's
wow.
cool.
And then at the end of the night, after the thing's over, if somebody's had a little too much to drink at their party there watching your Motor Soul concert, you could drive them home.
You know what? I could if I wanted to, but most likely I just want to get home myself.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, it's great to talk with you. Would you ever take an Uber?
You know what? As a matter of fact, I've wanted to download the app just so I can see what the buzz is about and just so I can challenge the people that are... It's become a bidding war is really what's become because of Uber and Lyft.
Yeah.
A lot of those passengers still take cabs, but they say Uber costs this much. Well, I'm not dumb, Phil. I'm going to drive them. You know what I mean?
Sure, of course.
I'm take them for whatever Uber charges them.
Yep.
Because I want to make them my return customers or my regular customers.
Yeah.
And turn their whole perception around about the dirty foreign cab driver.
Oh. Yeah. Well, see, that's a perception that people have. Well, Ricky Menes, continued good luck to you. And if I'm lucky, maybe I'll be a backseat taxi cab video star on your Facebook page. What was it again? California Taxi
California
Driver?
Taxi Driver.
All right, we're going to look for it. Ricky Menes, thank you very much for spending some time with us here. All right, that's interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't
you
know.
You can ride for free with Ricky.
Sounds like a cool dude.
I don't know that we got the generic taxi driver response to Uber and Lyft.
Probably not.
Probably
no.
not. Well, that's it for hour one of the program. So much more to come, including Lisa May and what she has to say about her departure from KROQ.
A little bit about it, yeah.
Yeah, that's coming up. And also, our travel guy is going to give you a full week to figure out where you want to go for St. Patrick's Day. And how would you like to be an innkeeper?
That sounds fun.
I don't know what that is.
And own the whole inn, and it only costs you $125.
That's a deal.
Hey. Yes, that's sweet.
We're going to tell you how all of that can happen coming up in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, why can't I wear a crop t-shirt in public? We sure love that Bachelor show, don't we? Wait a minute. I just heard somebody scream no. The best St. Paddy's Day in the world. And there's a quaint bed and breakfast right next to the water with your name on it. But it'll cost you $125.
Oh, yeah, I think I got that.
To own
I'm
the,
good.
Own the whole place.
The whole thing? Cool.
The friends are here. Aaron Myers, our new friend, Lisa May.
Yep.
And Chris Martin. I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. All right, Aaron, a couple of stories on your desk there that are burning to jump out at us. It's a fashion week in Paris,
yes,
is it not?
It is.
What's going on there?
I don't know if this is burning to jump out, but I thought it was entertaining. You know the movie Zoolander back in the day? Well, they're working on the second one, and it'll come out next February. Well, at Paris Fashion Week for the Valentino show, Derek Zoolander and Hansel, Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson, walked the runway in the Valentino show, and it's quite good. The outfits are hideous, I will say. So sorry, Valentino. But
How was their runway walk? Were they good?
Oh, they did. They put the full-on blue steel face and everything.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, Le Tigre.
I still say, you know, obviously the joke is they're really not meant to be models, but they worked it.
Yeah.
So.
You know, ever since seeing that movie, and I love, it's just one of those wonderful movies, isn't it?
It is.
It's stupidly funny.
Yeah.
In a stupid way. Mm-hmm. But ever since seeing that, I just have this fantasy, and I don't know if all guys have this fantasy, to be able to stop a ninja star with your face.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Chris.
You just stare it down.
Is that your
fantasy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's on my bucket list. I plan on doing that.
Oh, so which is the face for you? The Tigre or the other one? The
blue steel.
Blue steel. You can pull that off.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Is that you have to purse the lips a little bit for blue steel?
I think so. You purse the lips. You squint the eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe even sort of wink one eye down further than the other one.
Oh. Wow, yeah. That sounds complicated.
A little bit of a glare going.
Have you practiced that?
No. No, but I do lick my fingers and make sure my eyebrow hair is down before I walk into a room.
They do make eyebrow gel for stuff like that.
And I give myself a pep talk in the mirror.
Do you? Mm-hmm. All right, good. It's showtime. All right, so on to some other news. And we love the furry critters on this program, mm-hmm. don't we?
Yeah, and this was, I think, a good deed that unfortunately went wrong for the guy. A carpenter in San Francisco was fired for freeing a raccoon that had been trapped by exterminators on their construction site. I guess the project, they were going to actually have the raccoon removed and then euthanize it. Well, the carpenter thought, you know, that's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
So he took it out to a nearby grassy area after talking to animal control, and that's what they told him to do. And then his employer fired him, saying that he took something from the site that didn't belong to him.
No,
so he saved a raccoon's life, and he got fired, which I find very upsetting. He hired an attorney, so at least that's good, but I think that's
very upsetting. Was the raccoon later mauled by a wolverine?
I have not heard that yet, so let's hope not,
yeah.
But he did something good. Good and kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's BS.
It is.
Can I just say, I want a Kickstarter or something for this guy.
Yeah. Yes.
Especially the bravery it takes to go anywhere near a raccoon.
They're a wild animal. You are cute, but they are not nice.
That's right. Can a raccoon will rip your face off.
Absolutely.
You know, I encountered a raccoon in a parking lot at like 6 in the morning once.
Yes.
And it was like from me to you, that far away. So I'm you know when it is when you grab your phone and you're trying to, where's the camera app? And you're trying to figure out how to turn your phone into a camera in a hurry, and it never happens in a hurry. It's supposed to, right? New phones, just like that, they become cameras. But you can never find it when you need it. I want to just snap a shot real close of this raccoon. It stands up on its hind legs while I'm shuffling around trying to get the thing. And it looks at me, and I guess, lucky for me, it turns and walks the other direction. And by the time I have the camera ready, it's like 40 feet away, and I see its tail.
The back end of the raccoon.
Yeah, and not a good shot anymore. So I take the shot anyway just to prove that I saw a raccoon in the middle of, you know, urban life.
I took a picture of four little raccoons sticking their heads up out of a storm drain.
Aww.
Really?
Like a mother and little babies. It
That's
was right
cute.
At dusk, and they all popped up, and I happened to be driving by.
Shot?
And I pulled over, and I ran across the street and took the picture. Sure. And I was like, that's the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
I guess they hang out there during the day because they're nocturnal.
What's your middle name, Ansel?
Me and Ansel, man.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Those were my fingers crossed. All right. Last hour, Lisa May, you were talking about how men are more narcissistic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You have a fine example of something contrary to that.
Well, I'm not saying that women don't have their moments. This is embarrassing because these two women are from California.
Uh-oh.
Wouldn't you know it?
California.
Yeah. And they're 21 and 25, and they were visiting an ancient wall of the Colosseum in Rome. Well, really the whole Colosseum, not just a wall.
They're in the area that they call the Colosseo.
And they decided to etch their initials 8 inches high on the wall.
In the Colosseum?
2,000-year-old building.
What is the matter with them?
And then they took selfies.
Oh.
At least they, like, recorded their crime.
I would like to beat them with their cameras, honestly.
World's dumbest criminals.
Yes, right there. That's true. They got caught.
I don't know. I hope so.
Yeah, they got caught. And the story does not say what happened to them, but they say a Russian tourist was sentenced to 4 months in prison about 5 months before that when he was caught carving the letter K onto the Colosseum. So I can only hope that they do something.
Probably. Who'd they get caught by? Was it one of those guys dressed up like a Roman centurion who wants to take pictures with you?
No, I don't have that there?
It's yes.
Officers.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Okay.
So they must have people. And they were alleged aggravated damage is what they were charged with, it says.
Well, yeah, how do you put a price tag on the damage?
Yeah,
really?
I don't know.
You should just know better in that situation.
The thing is going to be covered in graffiti by the end of the century, I swear.
Oh,
this
you
is
think so?
Sad.
Yeah,
well,
it is.
I don't know. Look at what people are doing. They don't know, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, they're going to plead ignorance. That's the modern generation, too. It's just
could.
Like, I don't know. I carve in stuff all the time. I carve in trees over at the park. I carved in my desk in school.
Well, look at the pains they go to preserve that for another 1,000 years if they can, because you can only drive on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I think, in Rome, or is it Tuesday and Thursday?
True?
Around the Colosseo, you have to bypass, and you can't drive near it. So they already have taken measures to try to stop the deterioration, the natural deterioration. Yeah. And these two idiots from California,
giving us a bad
what?
Name.
Is this bad?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They probably went back to their hotel room and watched The Bachelor.
Yes.
Seems to be what everybody's watching. No. Everybody that's a Bachelor fan here in the studio, can you please say I?
Well, I enjoy.
Oh, you just said it three times.
Right.
I.
My wife is a big fan. At least one of my daughters loves watching it. And so it's always on when I get home. And by default, I would sit down on the couch and, fine, I got sucked into it. And I would follow the characters and I was interested to see who this guy, who isn't in the least narcissistic. As far as I can tell.
Right. Mm. Except that he's on a TV show.
Yes, and then doing another one.
You know, what a great show. I mean, he took the virginity of this one girl, as far as we know, and he's probably going to kick her to the curb. In fact, I think he did, ultimately. He didn't kick her.
Good guy. Good guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I caught the first 20 minutes of it because I also live with girls, and that show is something
of the finale?
Else. Yes, of the finale. And they do sort of what we're doing here with Lisa May, which is teasing you with a reveal all the way till the very end. You know what I mean? You just have to hang in there.
No, we're not going to wait till the very end.
So I catch a portion of this, and then today I read that this guy, Chris Soules, who is the bachelor.
He's a farmer.
Is not going to be living out his dream of getting back to the farm as soon as possible. Him and his fiance, who he chose, Whitney Bischoff, which he's with the one with the high voice.
Whitney.
Oh, really? Okay. Is that what she sounds like?
I work in a sperm bank, Chris, but I'd love to move to a farm.
She's not heading directly out to the farm. They're going to Hollywood first because, Chris has been inducted into the cast of Dancing with the Stars. Which, by the way, that show starts on Monday, Dancing with the Stars
I'm not watching that one either.
No, I'm done with Dancing with the Stars.
They're never going back to the farm.
No.
A mockery of love
that.
And a mockery of stardom.
It is, but we enjoy watching, don't we? The you know what they ultimately they're going to do? The two hotties that he dumped along the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Britt and what the heck is her name? Caitlin, the gal from Canada. Funny girl. She's fun, loving, and cute and all of that. He dumped them both, and they were both heartbroken. They're going to be dual bachelorettes when the bachelorette season starts.
Oh, that's a new twist.
How does that work?
I see a cat fight coming.
How does that work?
If they
don't know.
The same guy, that's going to be, Ooh.
Is it like, what do you call that, polygamy? Do you get to marry two gals?
That's basically what The Bachelor is, by the way. It's like legalized polygamy for a short period of time.
Well, imagine you're the guy. I mean, you get to date, like a hardcore date, like a couple dozen
girls.
Women for however long it takes. And then
I wouldn't want that kind of pressure.
The fantasy suite, and they're fighting over your attentions, and you're in a pup tent in the middle of the night trying to get some sleep, and they're like jumping all over you. That's the life for a guy, isn't it?
I don't know. Certain guys,
though.
Maybe. I guess he's going to be teamed up, by the way, The Bachelor is, with the winner of last season's Dancing with the Stars, the dancer of that. And he says that he's danced in a few bars and weddings in his day. So we'll see how he does on the
long,
stage.
Long, I don't think, do you?
No.
Probably
who knows, though? I mean, he seems pretty athletic. I guess that's what it takes.
Yeah. All right. My goodness. Well, we love it. I guess you probably could have expected that he was going to keep being in reality TV for the rest of his life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We expected that Lisa May would be on a radio station in Los Angeles for the rest of her life.
But it didn't
turn out. We're going to get her thoughts on her departure from KROQ in Los Angeles next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. PhilHewlettAndFriends.com is the website. We're on Facebook. Thanks for liking us. And we're on Twitter at Faf Show. Faf. Say it with me. Faf.
Faf.
You can't say it?
No, because I keep forgetting to turn on my mic. Faf.
I just spit on my mic.
P-H-A-F, like Phil Hewlett and Friends.
Faf.
Show. Faf Show.
Faf.
Can you do that?
Faf.
All right. Lisa May is here with us, and for since 1990, I can tell you the day that Kevin and Bean started their morning show.
Really? How? Why?
I was standing in line to pick up sod at some place in Orange County, California.
That is a story, Phil.
And they were playing K-Rock at the counter when I'm standing in line, and I'm listening to these two guys because just the day before, it was guys that I'd been listening to for a long time because I was a listener of that particular station for very, very, very long time since I was in high school and followed all the DJs. And who were these guys from, I don't know, South Carolina or someplace out of state?
These Mark and Brian wannabes.
Yes. And it was
their rap.
Exactly. Seemed what it was. And so I gave them a chance, listened to them, and over time enjoyed them. And Lisa May was part of the mix. Were you there at the very beginning?
I started 1 year after they did.
Okay.
I think they used their producer to do their traffic in the beginning and then decided that they wanted a real traffic reporter.
Right.
And so I got paired with them and started doing their traffic, and I was still at another building, the traffic service building.
Did you ultimately move over to where they were?
I don't know the dates, but I want to say like 12 years ago, maybe.
But you were so much more than just a traffic reporter. Mm-hmm. You were part of the conversation.
I was in the studio full time, involved in all of the conversations. And I also did the traffic and some commercial work and stuff like that.
And people love you. And a couple of weeks ago, you were summarily let go.
Yes.
And so your fans are up in arms. There's a website, boycott, no Lisa, no K-Rock, no peace. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. They're out in the streets. They've got pitchforks and torches and
it's
all that
nice.
Sort of thing.
You hope that a few people will be sad and will Facebook you or send you a Twitter message or whatever. But it's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
People have been, like, I love being fired.
Oh, really? Wow.
I've never felt so much love in my life.
I imagine it's a little overwhelming, too, because you have to be careful about your steps and what you do, because you want to hopefully jump into that vortex of love and land on your feet in a very good place somewhere.
Well, and I love radio, and I would love to stay in radio. But as your producer, Mike, well, not producer, but Mike and I were talking earlier. Yeah. And
He's our executive producer.
Thank you. You don't get many chances in your life to just sort of reinvent yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And this is that opportunity where it's never a job I would have quit. It was an amazing job.
Yeah.
But now that I don't have it anymore, I really, like, the world is wide open. And what is it I want to do? And
May I just jump the gun and interrupt and tell everybody? I'll be the spoiler.
Okay.
Lisa May is starting today, will be an Uber driver.
Yes, that's what I wanted to do.
No, she got
they're fantastic.
Yeah, and she did get a great offer from Lyft, but Uber matched it and exceeded it.
And I've got the Prius.
Yes. Oh, so perfect.
I can do it.
All right, so everybody's wondering if you're going to say anything about what happened.
Well,
and I know you made a comment or two on Facebook to give kind of a preemptive strike on all of this, but
And
is
this,
the time right or no?
This show is not. You know, I don't want to do that on this show. This is about having fun and and telling good stories. So I am going to do it. And I'd been thinking about how I wanted to do it. And Allison Rosen has a podcast called Allison Rosen is Your New Best Friend.
I know that name. She was.
She used to work with Adam Carolla.
Until she was summarily fired.
As it turns out. So we have something in common. So she reached out to me and said, would you like to talk about it? And honestly, at first I went, no, I don't think so. I don't think I want to talk about this yet. And a week or so passed and I decided that actually it's probably a good time to do it.
Okay.
So probably next week we're going to do the podcast.
Okay. So you don't have a specific date yet? Or
no.
Is it, so it's not
but
locked
I
in for
I believe
next week.
For sure next week.
Okay. Okay,
will
you
we'll
let us know?
Done.
And
yeah.
we'll help promote it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Because you're officially one of the friends.
I love it. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Well, how about that? And again, thanks for all the fans who've been out here. I mean, we're watching the numbers.
They love
just
you.
The spike in live listeners and viewers and people. And I apologize for not jumping in there and chatting. There are probably people in the chat room. Have you ever gone into our chat room? Did you know we had a chat room, Erin?
I do know we have a chat room. I haven't checked it out too often.
We should go in there and chat more often.
Yes,
no.
Probably.
Well, no, we shouldn't. No.
No.
Mike Stark's shaking his head. No, we shouldn't go in there.
It's a bad place to go.
Yeah.
Get yourself into trouble.
Bad.
I want to thank all of the listeners that are here today because of me. Yeah. That's just amazing.
And I'm one of them, by the way, if I can. I've been a fanboy of radio for a very, very long time, and it's really an honor to be in studio
Chris.
And doing radio with you.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I appreciate it. Well, I'm having a great time.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
Well, that's fantastic, and I'm glad you're here, and I totally understand and everything in its time.
Yes.
And I think for those people who thought you were going to spill some kind of beans today, then they're going to – bean. Here we go again.
I did try to quell that online a little bit to let him know that that wasn't what this was about. But...
Oh, can I ask you just one little question? This isn't going to spoil anything.
Okay.
Have you, over the course of the last couple of weeks, had any – follow-up conversations with either of the hosts of your previous show?
Yes.
Oh.
I have. I spoke on the phone with Bean last week, and Kevin and I have exchanged several emails.
And you'll detail some of that when you are on with Ms. Rosen.
Yes, I will.
Okay. Good.
So contact has been made.
Interesting. All right. Good. On with the show, shall we?
Yes.
We got that business out of the way, and thanks again. I'm sure we've all stayed in a hotel, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think twice about stuff that you touch in your hotel room?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We've all seen that 2020 or whatever it was.
Bring the black light.
Yeah. Sometimes I think three times.
Yeah. Do you bring a black light?
No.
It's a good idea, though.
But I have a friend who brings her own linens.
Oh, that's smart.
That.
Yeah. I just don't want to know.
Right. That's me.
I've survived all of the hotel rooms
Being
I've been
naive
in.
Naive can be good in those situations.
Yeah. You just want to stay in a nice hotel and have a nice, restful sleep in a good part of town.
Yes.
But I do have a list of the three grossest things you come in contact with in a hotel room. And this is courtesy of Live Science.
Okay.
Oh, good.
So it's science again.
Yeah.
Can't argue that.
It is science. Okay. And I think we all suspect that the comforter is just a nest of
repository
other people's bodily fluids, right?
Aww.
Specifically the part that covers the foot of the bed, because a lot of people just sit there and maids don't always wash the comforters and people tend to just sit there not
nude?
Necessarily in their clothing, right?
Okay.
Nude.
It's also the spot people with kids are most likely to change a diaper.
Oh, I never thought about that.
At the foot of the bed. Because where else are they going to do it?
Right
there next to the coffee maker?
Dirty diaper duty.
You're right.
Yeah.
They don't wash those comforters every time.
No, they don't. They don't. Okay. Here's one that maybe you hadn't thought of, and I'm just grossed out to even talk about it. The drinking glasses.
But they clean those.
Well, Fox News used a hidden camera back in 2007 and discovered that a lot of maids don't even wash those glasses out. Or if they do, they just spray them with glass cleaner to make them shiny.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll give you the runs.
It
will?
True. Yeah.
Does it have that donut powder
gross.
Toxic chemical
gross.
In there?
Oh, my God.
Okay, and here's what's the first thing you touch when you go into the hotel room? You know, after you set down your stuff.
Doorknob and lights.
Well, no, after you're in, you close the door and you set your stuff down. Okay, light switches.
Refrigerator.
Right. What else?
Remote.
The remote. Uh-huh. A study in 2012 found that the remote controls and the light switches are two of the dirtiest things in hotel rooms because everyone touches them and they hardly ever get cleaned.
All right.
Yeah. Last time I stayed in a hotel, I used my Netflix on my iPad. So
you didn't even
touch
it? Mm-hmm.
I watched movies, and now I'm very happy about that.
I just go straight for the Bible, and I dig into Corinthians.
You are
Is
so full of it.
Is that what you do?
No.
What we didn't know about Chris. Yeah. All right. And so we when you think about the hotel rooms, just an extra thought. Do you somehow feel like you've contributed to the problem? When you think about your own activities?
No. I have not ever contributed to the problem.
Of course not?
No.
Boy, I don't know.
Do you think
does not look like an honest face, Lisa. I got to tell you that right now.
Do I protest too much?
Do you think, oh, they're never going to clean that up?
Girls aren't dirty. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
We're not a part of that mess.
No. But guys like a dirty girl. What are you doing here? Spoiling it for us. Hey, it's time to start thinking about where you're going on St. Patrick's Day. It's a week from today, believe it or not. And rather than an Irish pub up the street, you have time to plan something more memorable.
Like?
Right? So we're going to get a St. Patrick's Day travel primer from our travel guy, who knows better. And we think he's sober today. That would be a change. He's next on Phil Hewlett and Friends. So my wife sends me a note when we were talking about the dirty stuff in the hotel rooms.
Yes.
My nephew is a pilot.
Yes.
And I'm not going to get him in trouble, but he knows the stewardesses. Apparently they use the coffee maker to soak their undies.
Really?
What? Why?
I did have coffee the last time I stayed in my hotel.
Well, because, you don't necessarily have time or the coinage to go down to the...
They want the hot water. They put the hot water through.
You know, the washer dryer that they have in the hotel room. Oh, so they just, goodness.
Yeah, then how do you dry them? Do you just put them on wet?
Well, you can use your blow dryer, right?
Oh, the blow dryer. Yeah, good thinking.
He's a guy.
That's innovative.
Yeah.
Such a guy.
Right. And people who travel a lot, a lot of times if they pack light and maybe they've got their underwear, they got to wash it in the sink or whatever.
Yeah.
That disturbs me.
And then they hang it on the furniture that has the TV inside it. Right? The little hutch?
Yep.
Open the doors and hang your undies
there
on
there. There you go.
Right?
It's perfect.
And then your hands are on there next after somebody's undies.
But the coffee maker, oi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oi.
All right. We are a week away from St. Patrick's Day. And if you have the time, maybe the money, too, to get out of town for St. Patrick's Day, our travel guy has some ideas for you, and Gary Warner is here. And I apologize. You're not, you're not a lush, are you?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
No.
Okay.
only on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah. Well, that's a good reason.
On the road, man. You leave the family behind.
Yeah.
You don't have any responsibilities.
Yeah.
In Paris, it's a bottle of wine and dinner, and
Yeah, I know it. Hey, I know you like to start a lot of your segments here with a quick history lesson. So remind us who St. Patrick is, and why do we get absolutely plastered in his honor?
Well, St. Patrick is the patron saint of Ireland. He was a slave who became a monk, and he came to Ireland to spread Christianity and supposedly to show the power of God. He drove all the snakes that were in Ireland out of the country, and there are no snakes or very few snakes in Ireland today, and they owe it all to St. Patrick, so they made him the patron saint, and March 17th is his, I'm not sure if it's, I think it's his feast day.
Yeah.
And it sort of morphed into this basically drinking binge around the world.
Yeah, because I don't get the connection there. I mean, the snakes are gone, let's toast.
Well, I mean, come on, Halloween is All Souls Day and all these other things. I mean, basically, we Americans turned everything that is religious, short yeah. Easter.
Well, that does it does seem like good reason, Gary. I mean, you get rid of all the snakes. Let's have a drink and celebrate.
Let's party.
Who likes
yeah.
snakes?
Yeah, well, maybe it was that they were drinking too much and they were just seeing the snakes.
Yeah, yeah. Right. And then there's, there's nothing better to wash down a steaming plate of corned beef and cabbage than a pint of stout, right?
That's right. And you know, stout is fantastic in Ireland. I had a guy out in County Mayo, one of my favorite areas, which is where they filmed the old John Wayne movie, The Silent Man, where he's the boxer who goes back to Ireland.
Love that movie.
Yeah, I love that movie, yes.
Oh, yeah, that one.
The guy there says, he said the Guinness Stout tastes best in Dublin where it's made. It tastes very good here. It doesn't taste as good in London. He said, I can't imagine what it tastes like in America.
Yeah, yeah. So do we have to travel to Ireland to truly experience this properly?
Oh, no. I think you can get a good poll in Santa Monica, here. But the thing is, what's weird about St. Patrick's Day is I think it's bigger over here and in other parts of the world than it is in Ireland itself. Ireland is sort of caught onto it as a big, big event because it's an off-season reason to get the tourists in. It's March 17th, which isn't exactly sunny and beautiful in Ireland. You know, they call it the Emerald Isle, and it's the Emerald Isle because they get all that rain, and this is when they get that. So it gets a lot of people in town. The bars are overflowing down in the area of Temple Bar, which is in Dublin. You can go out to the pubs outside of town, and there's just all sorts of partying going on.
Yeah, well, since we've obviously perfected the holiday here in the United States, where are the hot spots here?
Well, obviously, where you find the Irish, you'll find the party. So New York, there's a great place called McSorley's Ale House, one of my favorite bars in all the world. It dates back to almost, I think, the Civil War, may even be the Civil War. And it wasn't until the 1970s they would even let women in. It looks like a bar from about 1880, smack in the middle of New York City. It's over by New York University. So you get a lot of students in there. And that's a great place to go. There's all sorts of Irish bars up and down the East Coast. Boston, obviously, has a big parade every year. Even out here in San Francisco, Lefty O'Doul's, which is a bar right off of Union Square, which is named after the second greatest early baseball player to come out of San Francisco, Joe DiMaggio being number one. But he was the most famous baseball player before that, and when he retired, he opened a bar, and it's corned beef and stout, but also Anchor Steam Beer from up there. So
yeah, all right. And so down in Southern California here, I'm thinking Santa Monica. Did you mention Santa Monica already?
Santa Monica is a great, great area because you got all your British expats there, and the Irish have a tendency to hold on. There's also an area in Lower Fairfax where there's three Irish bars right along there, and I wish I could remember the cross street. It's probably because I went out of there too drunk.
Well, there's an area on Fairfax, and I don't know if it's Lower Fairfax. I mean, I get my lower and my upper
Fairfax,
figured out.
Below Melrose.
But there's the Ethiopian area there,
right,
where you have a bunch of those restaurants. There were the great Jewish delis
area.
Were there. There's that.
No, but I know the Irish pub you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the name of it. I've been there before.
Yeah.
It's a good bar.
So yeah. you can get glued in there and then go around the corner and you can get a tattoo.
Yeah, but the fun thing probably is to actually go to Santa Monica and go to King's Head and go in there and rail against the king and all that kind of stuff.
Tom Berrigan's, is that the name of the place?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the name.
There's
right.
supposed to be a rule
for
picking a bar on St. Patrick's Day, and it's if the name of the bar has an apostrophe in it and or has a shamrock or a leprechaun, then that's green light. That means that's a good place to go for St. Patrick's Day because it's going to be popping off.
Wow.
Yep. Yep. Right. Although, you can go into Tiki Tea, the Tiki Bar up by KCET's headquarters up there. And they do great stuff on
It's Tiki a Tiki Bar?
Yeah. One of the best Tiki Bars in the world, Tiki Tea, tiny place.
I would never think on St. Patrick's Day to go to a Tiki Bar.
Well, booze is booze, man.
Yeah, okay, I got
gotcha.
You.
Hard to argue.
All right, Gary. Thank you very much. And next week when we talk to you, it will actually be St. Patrick's Day. So try to hold it together.
St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
We'll look ahead to April and Easter and some of the fun stuff that's coming up. We're finally getting into the time of year where you can go places and not be frozen over.
I like it. Gary Warner, thanks as always. Talk to you next time.
Take care. Bye.
All right. Now, speaking of travel, how about traveling to Maine?
Ooh.
It's like another country there,
it's
right?
It's beautiful.
You
right?
stay in an inn, bed and breakfast. It's
dig through the snow.
Yeah. I mean, what if I said you could own the entire inn? It's yours for $125.
That's unbelievable.
I'll tell you how that works next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. Lisa May is here today.
Yes.
And our usual friends, Aaron Myers and Chris Martin. They're usual and unusual at the same time. That's what we like about them. If you've ever been to Maine, or you've seen the pictures of it, it is absolutely beautiful, breathtakingly so. The winters are pretty harsh, though, I would imagine.
Yeah.
I can't speak from first opinion, because I've only looked at the pictures. I have not been there yet. I've been nearby, but not close enough. But who cares about the harsh winters? You can get away from it all. I mean all. You know, there are not going to be a lot of people up there. There's an inn, a pretty cool one with a ton of upgrades, and it's available to anybody who can write a good story, you know, an essay. And if you're any good at this at all, and you do want to get away for a long time, then this is for you. And Janice Sage is the current innkeeper at the Center Lovell Inn in Maine, and she joins us live now. Hi, Janice. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Am I right? Maine is just beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the winters are fun, too.
Yes, even though it's freezing cold.
Oh, it's not too bad.
Okay, good. Yeah. Now, how did you come to be the innkeeper there?
I actually won the inn in an essay contest 22 years ago.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Do you remember what the topic was?
Well, I can't give it out. It's copywritten by the former owner, but I can tell you they selected it because they felt that I would be able to carry on a successful business in the inn.
All right. And so have you?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, it's been great.
And over the years, did you spruce the joint up a little bit?
Oh, yeah. About $500,000 worth.
Ooh.
Wow.
Well, so it sounds like a good business if you had that kind of cash to throw
out. Yep, exactly.
All right. So looking back over the years that you've spent there at the inn, was it a good move?
Oh, excellent move. Excellent. It's beautiful here. I overlook the White Mountains of New Hampshire. So that's what I look at every morning when I wake up.
My goodness.
You can't do any better than that.
So this whole innkeeper thing, is it a good living? I mean, do you make some bucks? You get to sock it away?
Oh, yeah. Work hard. Yep.
You do work hard, right? It's like a 24-hour day job.
It is. It's 24/7.
And people expect you to cook them breakfast, too, when they're there?
Oh, yeah. I do breakfast.
A fantastic breakfast, I'm sure.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The big old country New England breakfast.
Oh, what is that? Biscuits and gravy, or is that Southern?
Oh no, that's Southern. No, I do more like fresh toast and a breakfast meat and fresh fruit and yogurt and coffee and tea and juice. So it keeps them busy in the morning.
Yeah. All right. So let's see. Stephen King was born in Maine, right? So do you have?
Yes, he was.
People get together in a circle next to the fireplace and read scary stories?
No.
No, you're ready to pass the inn along to the next innkeeper.
I am. I've been in the restaurant business 38 years, so it's time to retire.
All right, so who's the next innkeeper going to be?
I don't know. Somebody that can convey the wherewithal to run the inn, and somebody who I think is also conveying that they have the stamina and a good personality.
Yeah, so they have to put all of this information in what, an application, or are they going to put it in their essay?
They put it in their essay.
Okay. So yep. What are the rules? How does that work?
I pick the top 20 essays, and then I have two independent judges that will pick the winner and the first and second runner-up out of the 20.
So if I just jot something down on a piece of paper and put it in an envelope, lick a stamp, and shoot it off in the mail, is that good enough, or do I have
to pay
an entry fee?
No, to the website. It's wincenterlevelin.wordpress.com.
Whoa. Okay.
And on that website, it gives them their entry form, all the rules, which there's about 4 pages of rules.
Yeah.
And also gives them a brief rundown on the inn.
WinCenterLevelIn.wordpress.com.
WordPress.com.
Okay, I'm going to put that on our links page.
Oh, thank you.
There are two L's in Lovell, three actually, if you count the first one, mm-hmm. two at the end, and there are two N's in inn for those of you who've never even heard of an inn before. It seems almost archaic, doesn't it? Is there a prompt for the essay?
Not really, no.
I mean, like a topic. Do you, like, go with something?
Well, I really don't want to give too much up, but they do need to convey, their abilities and, why they think they could continue it as a viable business.
Okay.
Part of the rules is, you have to run it for 1 year.
And was that what you agreed to? And then, 24 years later, you're still there.
Exactly.
Janice, was part of the rule that you would need to give the inn away when you retired?
No,
that's just something you
chose
to do.
Paying it forward.
That's like lovely.
That. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of people in the hospitality business that are very hard workers and very talented, but they have not been able to acquire enough money to get their own business, which they would be wonderful at.
Now, should I win the essay contest? I want to make sure that I'm not walking into a money pit there. Is there anything wrong with the building?
No.
How's the plumbing and the
everything's new.
The boiler works okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
But after your comment about winners, I'm not so sure you'd want to. Stay
Right. Can I win and stay part time?
There you go.
All right. So again, we will put the link, but it's wincenterlevelin.wordpress.com. And how many entries do you estimate you're going to get?
I think at the rate the publicity has been going that I'll probably get more than the 7,500 that I'm looking for.
Wow. And they all pay an entry fee, so in essence, you will be selling the inn, more or less.
Yes, exactly.
That's a lot of reading you have to do.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. When I have time, I'm a voracious reader.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. I will have to put that to work.
Have Stephen King over. I bet he likes to read.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you, and what a story. How fun.
Oh, thank you.
And enjoy whatever it is that you're going to do next. And I bet you're going to move to some warmer climes.
No, I'm staying right around here.
Oh, okay.
All right.
That speaks for how wonderful Maine is. How about that?
Thank you for having me.
Okay. Thanks for being here. That's Janet Sage and wincenterlevelin.wordpress.com. How are you at writing essays? Any good?
I'm about to find out because there's no way. How do you not enter that contest? You can win an entire building.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder if you have to do the cooking yourself or if there's somebody already there that could help you with that.
Well, you could hire your own staff.
Yeah, because I would not be good at that.
Just don't bring along people from California. That's what I'm thinking.
Well, they'd carve their initials into the side of the inn.
Yes, I know. What's the matter
terrible.
With people?
Phil was here.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You know, people lie about what they're qualified for when they apply for jobs.
All the time.
Right? Don't they? They say they're one thing, and then you find out like 2 years or 3 years later that they've been doing stuff. They've got their hands all over you, and they're not even qualified. Right, Aaron?
It happens a lot. Yeah.
Yeah?
Wait, why do they have their hands all over me?
I don't know. Maybe they're doing a proctology exam or something like that.
That happens a lot, and I know somebody who actually did that and got away with it for a while.
Yeah?
Yes. There's nurse. A nurse, yes.
A nurse?
In Sarasota, Florida, who is actually not a nurse, but she posed as one at a clinic for more than a year, and they caught her because they found out she was stealing, too.
Oh.
So, yeah, she stole, like, $1,800 of medical supplies, and then they did a more thorough background check, and they found out she is not a valid nurse. So now she, I believe, will be going to jail.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's where she belongs.
But can you imagine trying to pretend to be a nurse? Like, aren't there skills involved?
Yeah.
Particular skills, yes.
Yes, a particular set of skills.
If you have a nice bedside manner. But in this case, you know, her skill might be, in fact, to kill people, right?
Well, that could be. Well,
they didn't say that happened, thank goodness. But, I mean, they're saying, you know, real nurse duties that she, you know, gave pills, medication,
oh,
all that
no.
good.
So she was handling it. She had the skills to be able to do it. And then, of course, shot herself in the foot by also having to be a klepto.
Yeah.
Right. She's clearly a smart person.
Yeah, you
if
would
you
imagine.
Could pull that off, you're not an idiot.
That's no easy ruse.
No. Yeah,
right. But, you know, we've all...
well said.
We've all
tried to be a doctor one time and I couldn't even pull it off for an hour.
Oh, yeah, right. You don't want to play
so
doctor.
So you're too young looking to be a doctor.
No,
he
wasn't.
That.
Yeah, that's, he was something completely different. All right. But you know what? It's nice to investigate. You have to look carefully into things because you might find something strange. The TSA is always looking into things.
Yes, thank God. This story is about a woman who was flying from LaGuardia to L.A., and she had a layover in Chicago. So she's at LaGuardia waiting to get on her plane, and she has checked in her baggage, and the TSA comes and pulls her out of line and says, come with us. And you're thinking, oh, my God, what did I do?
Scary.
Well, the alarms went off when they ran her luggage through the security because there was something alive in her bag.
Ooh, snakes?
Snakes on a plane. Oh.
It was a chihuahua.
Oh.
Her little chihuahua had snuck in. She had one of those hard-sided bags, and her dog had snuck in, and they loved to burrow.
Yeah.
And she had no idea it was in there.
Really?
Taking a nap, probably.
Shut the case and went off to the airport. And thank God they found it.
No
because
kidding.
It would have died in the luggage hold.
I think it would have.
Yeah.
Bad surprise.
Oh.
When you get to L.A. So, oh, my God. I would have been heartbroken.
So what'd she do? Call a cab for...
Her husband came and got the dog.
A little stowaway.
Did anybody ask her why she still has hard-sided luggage?
I have hard-sided luggage.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Really?
In that case, no wonder. Because it's great luggage.
It's really
obviously.
Good.
Is it?
I love it so
the old, like, Samsonite with those...
No, it's brand new. Don't pick on my luggage.
Oh,
what is wrong with you?
Well, I don't know.
You can fit more in the soft one because the cover has more stretch. Plus, it's got wheels on it.
You know,
it's more durable.
And you could slam it into people and get through in line quicker.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Wow. And what else is true is that it's just been wonderful having you here, Lisa May.
I've loved it.
And we wish you all the best.
Thank you.
And come back any old time.
I would love to. Thanks so much.
All right. And thanks to all your friends who tuned in today.
Yes.
That's it. We love your comments. Click contact at philhewlettandfriends.com. There's a form there. You can fill it out. At Twitter, we're at Faf Show. Facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson, our production assistant, Nick Wright, our theme song composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Aaron Myers, Lisa May, and Chris Martin,
Hi.
I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.